Good evening, everybody. Welcome to episode 92 of the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
And I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
The other Stacy's not joining us tonight because we're going to be talking about politics. So she decided to sit it out and let someone pinch hit for her. So a lot has happened, but first we're going to cover what we're drinking. I'm totally cheating and I'm drinking the same thing I drank either last time we recorded or the week before, but you know what? It is what it is. It's what I had in my fridge. So it's the Ménage à Trois Decadence. It's a cab 2016 from California. And I love Ménage à Trois, which I'm sure I've said, not like Ménage à Trois is like in the external sense, but this brand of this brand of wine is one of my favorites. So I'm enjoying it thoroughly. I think this is one of their newer ones, newer variations, and it's very, very good. So
I feel like what makes that one different? Like, what's the decadence one?
It's rich cherry and voluptuous blackberry flavors with aromas of dark chocolate all culminate in a smooth finish that leaves you wanting ... more.
Oh. Ooh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Pardon.
So take that.
Yeah. All right. I am drinking I know I've seen like Whispering Angel things before and like that doesn't interest me, but this is the Palm by Whispering Angel and it's a rosé.
What?
Obviously. Because I feel like the sun's out. Now I just don't even care anymore. Also, I've started messaging companies on Instagram when I like their wines because like, I don't know, hook me up.
getting any hookups?
Not yet, but I did message No Way Rosé. I mean, Yes Way Rosé. No Way. Wow. And Sophia just to say like, hey, thanks. Thanks for the good times. But anyways, this one is super cute. Like the label has like this kind of vintagey font and it says the palm and then it has these like palm trees on it. Like it's so cute. It tastes okay. And this was like almost $20. So I kind of hoped it would be better.
It should be better for $20.
Maybe it just hasn't, it might just need a little air. I only told it for a little while. So part of this could be my fault, but it's a blend of Grenache, Sinsault and Syrah, which I generally like. And it, this is my favorite part. It has it's pale pink with green hues, both of which are clear and very expressive.
It doesn't make any sense.
Green?
Like, what are you putting in there that you're making it green?
Yeah, I don't know. It also said it has a great aromatic freshness on the nose, followed by a more subtle, fruity notes on the palate. The freshness is coupled with the exceptional length and roundness.
Oh.
Crisp and suave finish.
It sounds kind of dirty.
Wait, I thought we were talking about sex in the next episode.
I want to know what the green is. What's the green hue? Like, did they accidentally drop some leaves in and they're like, fuck it, just write down that it has a green hue.
Hughes was a man from England.
Hello, Mr. Says it promises a crisp and round finish.
Sounds dirty.
So, ew. But I also ate some like sour.
You always do that. I don't know why
I know. I wanted a snack.
It's I ate 15 Junior Mints before we started, so it tastes kind of funny. I don't know what's going on.
The project
cheese with it.
Yeah, whatever. I had these Project 7 Gourmet sour chewy gummies before I started drinking this. But they're so cute and they're real good. But don't worry, because if I want more candy, I also have the Champagne Dreams gummy bears here. So I should have probably had those instead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jean, what are you drinking? Aren't you drinking like tea?
I'm drinking Diet Orange Soda because I had pickled myself over the last 3 nights and I needed a dry day. But stay tuned because in episode 93, I'm going to have a really fine wine.
All right.
Nice. Oh, are we doing fancy wine for this?
For sex talk?
All right. Yeah. Let's do sexy wines.
Oh, I've sexy ones?
I've already purchased it, but it's believe me, it may not sound sexy, but it's going to be perfectly appropriate for the tone.
Are you, you're going to stay clothed through the episode, right?
Oh, I make no promises.
That's fair.
All right. So a lot has happened since the last time we talked. Most notably, the Mueller report was given to Barr, not to Congress, not to the American people. And then Trump went ahead and declared that he is completely innocent of any wrongdoing. No collusion.
But so, like, it definitely doesn't say that anywhere.
Well, it says he's not exonerated. Well, what it does say,
it specifically says that he's not exonerated.
Right. But it does also specifically say that there's no collusion, that there was no proof of collusion, which I think people keep forgetting. There's a few things. One, collusion's not actually illegal. So okay. I don't really know what people like. I always kind of thought that was an impossible bar to meet. Like, I never thought Trump was smart enough to actually like call Putin and make an arrangement with him to help secure the election.
Obviously.
Yes. I think it was much more kind of fell in his lap as like than what people were assuming. But also in the, well, we haven't seen the report yet, but in Barr's summary of it, it also says that he has not been found guilty or exonerated from obstruction of justice.
Right.
So since we live in a world where it's far more important to claim victory instead of stating facts, now we have to live in this news cycle for the next month about how Trump is completely innocent and the Democrats are a bunch of idiots and that everybody should shut up and leave him alone now. So, Jean.
Can I just chime in about this?
Please.
First of all, right now, Trump supporters are having a great time saying no evidence of collusion. Ha, ha, ha. We told you so. But the truth of the matter is that even if there was evidence of collusion, they still would not change their opinion of him.
Right.
They could find some other way to say this was a smear job by Mueller. This is a Democratic smear job. And so, like to me, the fact that it came back with no concrete evidence of collusion means nothing. It means nothing to me.
Well,
it's not like it would have changed any Trump supporter's mind.
The other thing too is he's kind of gotten away with it because he did it out in the open, right? Like, he got on national and international television and said, hey, Russians hack Hillary Clinton's emails. They hacked him that day. His son met up with them to discuss, you know, adoptions, which clearly it wasn't that. It was, they were going after dirt on Hillary Clinton. We know that because of the email trail that they found. Paul Manafort is going to be serving jail time for giving polling information to Russian oligarchs that were paying for the misinformation of the news media that ended up swaying the election. You know, what's his name? Mike Flynn is going to be doing jail time for talking to the Russians before he should have been. Like, all of these things happened, but we have to remember Mueller is a prosecutor. Like, things have to reach the letter of the law for him to actually, his scope of investigation was very, very small. So these things would have had to have reached the letter of the law indicating actual collusion, and collusion means that they went into it like premeditated to kind of be treacherous or traitorous to the United States of America, where I honestly think this group of dum-dums fell into all of these circumstances. And because it doesn't actually reach the level of what the law stipulates needs to be collusion or being a traitor, he's going to say there's no evidence of him reaching those things because there's not. Does that make sense? Like,
and I think just because you don't have evidence doesn't mean you're not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know if you saw, he went on like a bit of a tweet storm today.
What?
Yeah. So shocking, right? He said, everybody is asking how the phony and fraudulent investigation of the no collusion, no obstruction Trump campaign began. We need to understand for future generations to understand. This hoax, capitalized, should never be allowed to happen to another president or administration again. Wow.
Well, yeah, because once he has his way and turns the United States into an oligarchy, then it never will happen again. And, you know, let's not forget, Trump already had his foot in the door with Russia and the whole
Trump Tower,
getting a Trump Tower set up over there. So he was already connected to that stuff before he even began his campaign. So it's not like, you know, it's not like anybody had to really go to any great lengths to participate in any kind of campaign scam, because he was already doing business over there in some form or another.
I also think, you know, we have to start reevaluating our standard. Like, one of the things that drives me fucking crazy about the Democratic Party, I'm sorry, you guys, really, it really just irks me, is one, you eat your own. Two, turn on each other. Three, purity. Like, now you're watching a bunch of people kind of being like, well, you know, now that's it. 2020 is over. He's already won the election. Like, we should just, everybody should throw in their hat, you know, yada, yada, yada. We really need to hammer home that ethically is not the same thing as criminally. Like, our bar for the leaders of our country shouldn't only be as long as they stay within the letter of the law. It should also be what is ethically appropriate.
Right.
And everything that he, right. That's exactly right. And you know what? And Clinton has done some things in her life that aren't necessarily ethically appropriate, but that's what everyone keeps throwing back. But that's not who's in the office, who's a president right now. But we have this kind of mindset of everyone expected him to find his hands with blood all over them when he has been dealing in shady business deals his whole life. Like, he would not have gotten to the point that he is if he didn't know how to find the loopholes to scam the system and to get away with dumb shit. Like, he just wouldn't have.
If you listen to Cohen's testimony, like, the second I listened to that, I was like, oh, they're not gonna find anything.
Right.
He's paying dum-dums like Cohen to do all his dirty work, and they're the ones that have blood on their hands, not him.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that is pretty smart.
I still think the entire report should be.
It is pretty smart.
But I know it's impressive for somebody as dumb as he is.
But the report should still be made completely public. And what I think they're doing, what I think they're doing is they're allowing Trump to, like, because Barr is probably not going to release this report for a month. We're going to hear for a month, no collusion, no collusion, no collusion. I was right. You guys were wrong. Nah, 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 nah. And then in a month, the report's going to come out. And obviously there's going to be shit in there that he's guilty of. Otherwise, Mueller wouldn't have said, I have evidence that says he obstructed justice, and I have evidence that says he didn't obstruct justice. Which, here's the other thing, too. People are real mad at Mueller over this. Mueller's actually doing his job. It's not his job as special counsel to actually prosecute the president, since that's not the actual thing that the Department of Justice does. It's up to Congress to decide whether or not these things fall into impeachment possibilities. So he's saying, here's the evidence saying that he did. Here's the evidence saying that he didn't. You guys need to decide what to do with it. Like, that's probably the most ethical approach he could take to it without it seeming like a political hack job on it.
Yeah.
But they're going to ride this news cycle out for an entire month. We're going to hear how innocent he is of everything. The report's going to come out. Obviously, there's going to be disgusting, shady shit in there, because that is just Trump. And then it's going to look like the Democrats are trying to reopen, that they're just beating a dead horse. It's just set up so perfectly for him to come out on top, and it makes me so fucking mad that the media is buying directly into the narrative that they want them to. Like, they're all being like, well, you know, we were wrong. Oh, look, Trump's completely innocent. You know, Democrats are so stupid, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no one's even fucking read the report except Barr. Like, you guys don't even know what's in it, and you're already letting him claim victory. Like, what the hell? Makes me very, very mad.
Yeah, it's super frustrating.
What do you think, Jean?
I don't even know what to say, because the thing is going to be so redacted by the time anybody gets to look at it, that once again, it's not going to matter, because the level of corruption within the GOP is so deep, so deep. And, you know, Mitch McConnell, whatever damning thing is in there, he's not going to let this go through.
He's already said he's not. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So,
well,
so,
and that's like Barr saying that, like, the reason he got that job in the first place, because he said that no president should ever be investigated like this. Like, he's not going to do anything.
Right. And you know, Congress, even though the Dems have a majority now in the House, they could only do so much. They could only do so much with all of this, because their majority isn't really that huge.
Right.
To the point where, you know, you need the 2/3 vote for any kind of major thing that's going on. Would they even have that for impeachment if they likely discover any concrete impeachable offense? Yeah. Supposedly they're already proven to be a dozen impeachable offenses, but nobody's acting on it.
Well, I mean, I've said this on here before. I actually don't think he should be impeached. I think the only way you beat Trumpism is to actually beat Trump. Like, if you impeach him, it turns him into a martyr.
Well, and then we wind up with President Pence.
Well, and we just don't even have the numbers, so it's a fruitless endeavor. Yeah. Like, you're never going to get it passed in Senate. Even if you got the 2/3 of the vote in the House, you will never get 2/3 in the Senate. It just won't happen. Right. So yeah, it's a losing battle.
Anyway, he could
right.
be, you know, he could be humiliated with impeachment. He's not going to step in.
True.
And so, you know, the impeachment will just be, it'll be Congress doing their job for once. Because if impeachable offenses are proven beyond a doubt, especially in Mueller's report, the obstruction of justice, you know, we can't let that go unredressed.
Yeah.
If you impeach Clinton for a blowjob, then certainly you have to impeach Trump for obstruction of justice.
Yeah.
I think the second one is a little more important than the first one. But again, he's not going to step down. So it's not like we're going to end up with Mike Pence. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just
That's
a procedure
true.
that a Democratic Congress should follow through on.
Mm-hmm.
Or Democratic House, rather.
Well, yeah. And it kind of comes back to that whole, like, where do Democrats go from here? Like, you see some of them immediately pivoting to healthcare, you know, wanting to talk about healthcare because, and here's the other thing that I think is real funny, just real quick. Trump had his arguably, like, biggest political win since he took office, and he's wasted it on, like, get rid of the Special Olympics and I'm going to get rid of, we're going to destroy healthcare. And like, he could have ridden this into something much more productive and been like, hey, okay, now that that's behind us, let's really focus on, you know, improving jobs, whatever it is. Trump beats his job. He probably even could have gotten further with his damn wall at this moment. But no, he's like, you know what we should do? Get rid of the Special Olympics. Like, come on, bro. Like, you...
You had a win
and you totally
all over it.
That's just how stupid he is.
Don't forget how he's cutting off aid to the three Mexican countries.
Oh my gosh, I know. The poor Mexican countries.
The three of them, mind you.
All three Mexican countries.
He's just so stupid. Like, how I understand that he doesn't read. How has no one read stuff? Like, why hasn't someone been put in charge of, like, creating a picture book about, like, world affairs? I know, but everyone knows. So why don't they have a staffer that just, like, makes pictures and draws cartoons and, like, puts bullet points in? Like,
because he's like a toddler that, like, wants to be independent and can't do anything. He's like, I'll tie my own shoes. Like, and then he just twirls the laces around without accomplishing
it. Ends up hanging himself. Yeah.
I drive the car. Like, your feet don't touch the pedals, Donald. You don't drive the car.
Donnie.
Yeah, dum-dum.
I'll dress myself. Yeah, collar on his head and
pants on his arms.
with his Superman underoos.
Backwards.
Well, what I would like to see, though, is, and I mean, healthcare should 100% be talked about, because you're, once again, we're on the verge of 20 million people losing health insurance because they're trying to abolish the ACA. I feel like we've gotten to the point as a country, Republicans and Democrats, where we've all kind of accepted, like, hey, pre-existing conditions shouldn't eliminate you from health insurance. Right. Like, we can all agree on that. So I don't understand why this is a drum they keep beating. Like, I get it. Their donors come from insurance company, and I understand in actuality why it happens, but it's not a winning topic for them.
No.
So I don't understand why it's so fucking hard for Democrats to walk and chew gum at the same time and be like, yeah, we are going to talk about healthcare, and we are going to talk about the Green New Deal, and we are going to talk about jobs. And instead of letting Trump tell everybody, hey, your jobs are going overseas, we're going to start telling everyone, no, they're being taken over by fucking robots, and we really need to do something about that. And we're going to subpoena Barr, and we're going to subpoena Mueller, and we're going to do all of these things because we're not fucking idiots. Why is that so hard?
I don't know.
Like, why can they only focus on, like, one? They're like, okay, Mueller investigation over, now we talk healthcare. Like, why? Like her or hate her, AOC can multitask.
I know. Oh man, did you see her the other night when
she
was talking about what was it?
And she's not an elitist because she wants clean air and clean water. Yeah. I know. Oh
man. I was like, how do you like bow down to an Instagram post? Like, I didn't know how to properly, like.
Well, and once again, you watch the ridiculous right talking about how, you know, she doesn't know what she's talking about and she's so stupid and blah, blah, blah. Well, they have Dummy McDummersim up there showing pictures of Ronald Reagan on a fucking Velociraptor Raptor, like with an American flag as a cape. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You're worried about what AOC's talking about? Like, we spent tax dollars to get Reagan printed on a raptor to show to Congress, and he memed himself. Like, you don't get to meme yourself, asshole. No. Like, it's just, oh my God. It makes my head hurt so bad. And the fact that we keep losing to these dum-dums is the most infuriating thing ever, because we can't get our shit, because everyone in the Democratic Party is so worried about purity. Like, you're not going to agree with everything that the candidates want. You're just not. You know why? Because we're human beings. You're not going to agree with everything. Some things matter to me more than others. Some things matter to you more than, like, I guarantee you, gay rights probably matters to me more. Well, maybe not to you, but you know what I mean? Like, to another Democrat that is just like, yeah, I care, but not as much as I care about not being able to get health care for my mom who has cancer.
Right.
Like, people have different priorities. That's okay. That's okay. You're not going to find anyone. Even if my wife ran, our priorities are different. Like, we agree for the most part, but some things are more important to her than they are to me because of life experiences. So stop putting everybody through fucking purity tests. And you know what else? Let Joe Biden go. He's not running. Stop. Stop. I don't want him to run.
You just need him to let
him. Now his creepy shit's coming out about touching and groping women, and we need to nip it in the bud before it gets out of control. He cannot be the.
We need to narrow it down and sort of figure out whose basket we're gonna, you know, put all our bread in.
Who are you hoping for, Jane? Who do you hope wins the nomination?
I like Pete. I don't know how to say his last name.
Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. There's G's in there.
Mayor Pete.
Pete, I don't know. I guess I'll call him, I don't know, just Mr. Pete. And then I like Kamala Harris. I like Elizabeth Warren, but I think that she is going to remind too many people of their high school English teacher.
Or of Hillary.
Berating them for, you know, splicing commas. It's hard to say. I have not decided. Yes, this is the one yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in Amy Knobloch. But I'm concerned about the stories that she was the Leona Helmsley of her.
Amy Klobuchar?
Yeah, that's it. What's it? What? How do you say
Klobuchar? How she like throws stuff at her staff? Yeah, that was immediate irk for me. Like, you don't treat people like that.
Yeah, she's I'd like to investigate that a little further before I start promoting her in any way. And I like Cory Booker too.
Yeah, agreed. I like Cory. Same thing about Elizabeth Warren. I agree. I think the Pocahontas stuff hurt her.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she can come back from that. I like Kamala a lot. I like Beto.
Ugh.
And I like Bernie. I wouldn't hate to see Bernie as someone's VP. I wouldn't hate to see Bernie as someone's VP.
Bernie Sanders I have so many issues with Bernie Sanders.
I don't think Bernie would take a VP slot.
Yeah. I knew he wouldn't in the last election. I wonder if he would in this one. And if somebody was smart, they'd choose him because you're going to pull in a huge percentage of younger Democrats.
Right. And then, you know, by the time he's ready to run, he'll be a cool 100. So it'll be.
I don't like Amy Klobuchar because of the stories from her staff. I don't think it's sexist reporting. I think that I would feel the same way if a man was treating his staff like that.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know the world she came up in, it may have been harder on her, but I think it just speaks to the way you treat people in general. You don't treat people like that. Like there's a way to get a better response from your staff, no matter how demanding your job is, than berating them to the point of tears. Like that to me was just such a, nope, I'm done with you.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Kamala Harris. I don't think Kamala Harris can win. I don't think anyone from any of the elite states is going to win, which is my other issue with Elizabeth Warren. Mm-hmm. What I like about Elizabeth Warren is she trusts the public enough to discuss policy instead of just being like, oh, I want you to feel energized by me. She's like, no, I have some really comprehensive like reform ideas that I really want to discuss with all of you. And I'm assuming you're smart enough to understand them. And she does. Yeah. I like that. She trusts us to figure things out. And she is she's a policy wonk. Like she's a professor at Harvard for Christ's sake. She's very, very smart. But I think you're right. She's too establishment. I don't like Beto because you don't get to lose to Ted Cruz and then run for president. I'm sorry. You just don't.
No, that part I totally understand. I like a lot of his policy points.
I agree. So he should be someone's VP. He should not be taking up a spot. And
I'd be happy with him as someone's VP.
Right. I just. I mean, look at Stacey Abrams. Okay. Arguably one of the most inspiring Democratic candidates that we saw in the last election cycle. She lost. She's not running for president. She's working on helping people legally be able to vote because that's what ended up costing her the election. She's more concerned about people's individual rights than she is about Stacey Abrams. I feel like Beto's whole like, I'm going to go on a road trip and really explore my no, fuck you, dude. You lost. Like, get it together. Go campaign for other Democrats that should be, you know, winning. Get yourself back out there, run for Congress again, run for Senate again, and try your hand at it again, because the most important office is not always the presidency. If we don't hold spots in the Senate and the House, it doesn't matter who sits in the Oval Office. It just doesn't. So
you
this
saw
whole
that with Barack Obama.
Exactly. So this kind of like me attitude from, I like Beto's policies also, but that to me came off as like, you're super selfish and I'm over it. Like Bernie Sanders, sorry. I like his ideas. There's no way to pay for them. There's just not. And I'm not saying there won't be in 20, 30 years, but until we start changing the conversation about this being a, everyone thinks like, oh, these fucking Democrats, they want to be socialists. Nobody wants to be a socialist. People like social policies. It's like capitalism on a twist, you know. We just got knocked down. We're no longer even in the top 20 of like happiest countries in the world. In the top 10 are all socialist, like they all have social yeah. programs. So we have to stop that. We keep letting them steal the narrative over like socialism and socialist policies by comparing it to Venezuela all the time. When Venezuela, it's not because they're a socialist country. It's because they're run by it's a petrol state. It's completely dictated by oil, by corrupt individuals who are stealing all of the money from the country. It actually has nothing to do with the ideology that governs that particular government. It's because they have corrupt people in. I don't care if you have socialist country, communist country, capitalist country. If there's corrupt people in office, the whole system is going to fucking fall apart. That's just the way it is. Yeah. So we have to start changing the narrative.
Amy Klobuchar, because I think she would have been really good.
Well, she should stop throwing shit at her staff.
How do you feel about Cory Booker?
I don't like him.
Really? I like Cory Booker.
I don't like Cory Booker. I mean, I'm sure as an individual, he's fine. Like, I don't know him, obviously.
I like Chloe Booker. I can't talk Chloe. I just called him Chloe. I'm really, his mind's at me. Cory Booker, like, doing spin for, like, MSNBC
sure.
on, like, debate night.
I think Cory Booker, every time I hear him speak, it's always like this, he tries to put this positive spin on what's happening, mm-hmm. and that's just not the headspace we're in as a country right now. Yeah. I don't need to hear about the silver lining of any of it. I want to know what you're going to fucking do about it. I'm tired of hearing the whole, well, you know, it's really inspired a generation to get out there. And he's always quoting somebody. Everything's a quote. Like,
yeah.
And it's cool that he knows that. Like, he's obviously a very intelligent individual, mm-hmm. but I don't think he's... If we're looking to rebound from Trump, we are going to need someone that has really definitive policies, really yeah. definitive thoughts, and a really, really strong kind of built up team that's going to help them achieve that as quickly as possible. Because if we end up winning the presidency, we're probably going to win a supermajority at first, and you're going to have 2 years to get some shit done. I want to hear what you're going to do, not how you feel about
relatable. It. Too, you know, you need somebody that people who don't want to vote for Trump again but still feel betrayed by the, you know, political process here, that they relate to, people that feel like they've been left behind by, you know, the Democrats. I think that's what the party needs to be doing right now, is trying to identify somebody who, you know, appeals to middle America.
But part of the problem is too, we're letting them steal the narrative when it comes to things like patriotism. We're letting them steal the narrative when it comes to things like religion. We're letting them steal the narrative when it comes to things like liberty. We let them think they have the market cornered on freedom, liberty, patriotism, and religion. And you know what? I'm not a particularly religious person, but there are Democrats out there that are. So the right doesn't get to claim Jesus Christ. Like, hate to tell everybody this, Jesus probably would have been a socialist hippie. Like, y'all are tripping. I don't necessarily think the man is what you guys think he is, but he definitely wouldn't have liked Trump. But we let them continuously steal this narrative and continuously shame Democrats, just like they do with the whole socialist. I'm not a socialist, but I think there are some really, really important socialist policies out there and programs that benefit everyone.
Like the military.
Like public schools.
Hospitals, police departments, fire departments.
Yeah, like single payer healthcare. Like, yeah, there's a
lot. Public transportation.
Yeah, there's a lot. But we let them steal the narrative and continuously compare it to, okay, and I'm not going to go off on this rant because that'll take me 15 minutes. But the Nazis weren't fucking socialists. Please stop saying that, people. They were not, okay? Yes, they took the National Socialist Party name, but they were not socialists.
Look what they did. Just socialists don't do that.
Spend 5 minutes and Google it. Just, I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to take up the time here and do it, but seriously, spend 5 minutes and Google it.
Who do you think can do it? Who do you think would be our best chance?
Right now, I think if he gets the publicity, Mayor Pete.
Okay.
I think he'd have a really good shot. And I'm really torn because I think Kamala could beat him if people ignored the fact that she was from California.
Right.
What about Kamala? What about Kamala and Pete as the VP?
I'd be fine with either that or one way or a flip flop. Yeah. And if they and I'm really interested to start if people actually pay attention to the debates that are going to start coming. Kamala is smart. She's articulate.
Yeah.
She's a good arguer. She's very easy to look at, which is it shouldn't matter, but it does. And yeah. same with Pete. Like he's smart.
I like he's a veteran.
Mm-hmm. He's like, well spoken.
I think Democrats. You have this reputation of having never served and being anti-military and stuff. So I think that helps, you know, sort of with that identity crisis and sort of.
He's a millennial.
He's a millennial. Yeah.
And maybe Mayor Pete will drive some of those log cabin Republicans back to their senses.
Yeah. And I think him being like openly gay is not the most interesting thing about him.
Uh-uh. It's not.
You know what I mean? Nope. Which I think, you know.
And he's from Indiana, which swings the middle America vote.
Right. Yeah. No, that's true. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like he's super, super smart. But I feel like when he talks, it's digestible.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So I don't know. I don't think Cory Booker has a chance.
He kind of looks like a president.
He does. He's very.
He looks like a Kennedy.
I was just about to say he's very like Kennedy-esque, like the brown kind of like perfect hair and like even his kind of like average build. Like,
yeah,
you can tell he's in shape, but he's not overly in shape. Like he's also easy to look at. Like it's.
Oh, can we run him with Joe Kennedy? Because I like Joe Kennedy too.
He's too young, Joe Kennedy.
I know.
Give him a few years.
Like make America attractive again.
Great.
How about that? A good looking president and a good looking vice president for a change. How about
that? You should have seen, I sent that picture of Trump. He called what's his name pencil neck, but then there was this picture of Trump's neck legit looks like vaginas. Like it looked like he's got labia. It's a whole thing.
It's the most attractive he's ever been.
Oh, hold on. I know people listening won't be able to see.
Yeah, that
but
actually would be an improvement.
But like, legit, his neck folds look like vaginas.
Yeah, that one of them looked like a butt crack. Which that's more.
That's appropriate.
Yes, exactly.
He's a total asshole, so it makes sense that he'd have a butt crack on his neck.
I think the bottom line, though, is whoever, because I'm not going to say who I'm voting for yet, because, I mean, I need to, first of all, it's who's ever running against Trump. I don't If it ends up being Bernie Sanders, fucking whatever. Like, yeah, I don't care.
At this point, I would vote for, like, some decent Republicans over Trump.
I'm pissed that they're not challenging him, actually, that they're not primarying him. I wish they would primary him.
I would elect Bush again.
No. No.
I'm just saying.
No.
I vote for the father, not the son.
Yes.
Well, here's my thing about Bush. Go. I don't like a single thing he did, and I have a lot of problems with him, and I think I have a lot of things. I went to several protests like as a teenager with my dad, like whatever. But I genuinely feel like he made all of those decisions and they were all really rooted in what his beliefs were. Like they're terrible and awful and I don't agree with them. But I honestly think he thought he was doing what was best for his party and his country and whatever. I think Trump is doing what's best for Trump. So yes, I really feel like anybody in this, you know what I mean? Like, it's like with any good story when you feel like you can, like, understand where the villain's coming from. Like, I don't love Javert and Les Mis, but I get that he's 100%, like, making the best decisions he can based on what he thinks is right. Yeah. And Trump isn't like that. Like, it doesn't excuse the behavior, but you're like, I get it. He's just, he has different
beliefs. 100% self-interest, self-promoting, self-aggrandizing.
Yep.
And the only people who will ever benefit from anything that he does while he's in office are filthy, filthy rich people who have either already done favors for him or who have promised to do favors for him in the future.
Well, he can't admit he has any flaws or that he's ever wrong. Like, he called Tim Cook Tim Apple and then tried to say that he said Tim Cook Apple and it was so fast you couldn't hear it. And then he tried to say, no, I said Tim Apple to save time. No, you misspoke.
It's okay. It happens to all
of
us.
You're not infallible. Like, you misspoke. It's Tim Cook Apple. Like, no, you didn't say that. Just admit you're wrong.
Well, part of the problem, though, is, I mean, the 44% of the country still believes in him.
I know. I don't get it.
I don't get that. Oh, can I tell you about a poll I saw sure. today or heard about today? That creepy Uncle Joe Biden, who has not even officially announced that he's running, mm-hmm. is the lead Democratic leader right now.
Yeah. Well, he's one that I have a hard time with. Like, I don't know. I feel like this is going to come off sounding so terrible, but I don't know. I probably got to do more research into like the accusations and stuff, but like, he has throughout his career been one of those super touchy feely, like
yes.
give you a hug, give you a whatever, like just one of those people. And I always attributed that to like losing so many family members in such horrific ways. Like I always just assumed like he's real touchy feely because he's just a super like sensitive, whatever guy. And so he's one of those guys where I'm like, I have a hard time with accusations, like not hard time with them. It's just hard for me to like, he's suffered an enormous amount of loss in his lifetime. And I feel like I have like kid gloves for Uncle Joe. I love him.
I will agree with that. I mean, I believe this, the Democratic Lieutenant Governor in Nevada who wrote the piece about mm-hmm. it. I believe those accusations. What Biden's response was, I did not believe that anything I was doing was inappropriate. And he said, if that is brought to my attention, I will address it. So he's not denying that. He's not mm-hmm. saying, oh, I never did that. And she's lying, which people mm-hmm. like Brett Kavanaugh and people like Donald right. Trump will come right out and say against mm-hmm. their accusers, no, you're lying. Right. I didn't do that. Biden actually said, you know, whatever I did, it never came from a position where I knew I was doing something wrong and doing it anyway, which again, does not excuse the creepy behavior at right. all. I think it's gross when male politicians kiss female politicians.
Right.
Male politicians don't kiss other male politicians. How about we just leave everything to a frickin' handshake?
Yeah.
Why? Because she's a woman, does a male politician feel like he gets to show his gratitude and appreciation by kissing her?
Well, and he smelled her hair, which was just very... Here's my thing. Okay, I'm torn on Joe Biden because I like Joe Biden. I think he's a decent human being. And I think you're right. I don't think he would intentionally... And even the lieutenant governor of Nevada was saying, I'm not accusing him of assault. I'm not accusing right. him of sexual harassment. It was right. creepy. That's yeah. all she was saying.
And I right. think the important thing that she said about that too, and at least what I took from it, was that she said it wasn't aggressive. It wasn't whatever. What it was demeaning. And that I totally get. Like him yeah. coming in as like an older white man, he definitely is going to have those inherent like, yeah, oh, that's great that a lady's doing this. Like, I think that he's done all, like any meet and greet you've ever seen with Joe Biden, he's hugging people, kissing them on the cheek, like doing, I think he's just a touchy feely guy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is attributed to the amount of loss and that sort of, it's just any interaction I've ever seen him have with people. But I do agree that when you do that to another politician, yes, it's very demeaning. And I don't think that probably was on purpose, but I could at least appreciate the fact that like, you don't know how some people are going to receive it. Like other people might be like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like,
but you know, it's worth the conversation. We need yes. to be having this conversation because well, yeah. all male politicians, all male businessmen, all any business person or politician, keep your hands to yourselves. Right.
Well, I think in any business environment,
right. keep it
we should do that. Yes. And I 100% agree with that. I just don't think it's fair to paint him as like this crazy sex offender.
I'm not painting him as that. Kidding,
the Republicans are going to go crazy.
Yeah. That's what they're going to do.
I'm not yeah, painting him as that. I'm just saying we have enough other qualified candidates that
I just don't think at this point he he should run. And
he
shouldn't run.
I love him too. And like, I
give some stump speeches for whoever's running.
Go campaign for them. Yes.
I just want him to sort of.
Yes.
I just want him to sort of end his career on a high note.
Don't be Brett Favre. Like,
no, I think him getting like he got the what there was something special about his Medal of Freedom.
I don't know.
Right, he got it like with something else because whatever. Like, I think Joe Biden has done a lot for this country. I think he's sacrificed a lot for this country.
Keep your reputation intact and don't run and just go stump speech for people and just sit this out. Like,
I think that's the point I'm trying to make is like, I really, really love him. I don't think he's done any of these things with like malicious intent, but I don't want his entire legacy to be sullied by the amount of shit that's going to come from the Republicans because of this. Like, I don't think that's good for him. I think he was a great vice president.
And the other thing too is, at a certain point, we have to say, yes, he probably wasn't trying to hurt anyone. And I agree with you. I don't think he was. I think it's super inappropriate, but I don't think he was intentionally. But at a certain point, we have to say, but that time's over now. Well, and we're not going to put people in office who behave like that because we're trying to evolve past that point. And because of that, now we're going to let women run things. We're going to let gay men run things. We're going to let people who haven't been able to run things now, because you guys just haven't been doing that great of a job.
Right. Exactly. Well, and I think it's important, like with the Al Franken thing, like I at least appreciated what he said about like, I thought that was funny. And there was a lot of stuff I used to think was funny. And now that I'm older and wiser and stuff, I understand that that's completely inappropriate. Like that I can appreciate. Like if you said something fucked up or did something fucked up, like it is okay to say like, yes, I did that. And I'm very, very sorry. It caused somebody pain. And now I understand why that is not funny or appropriate or whatever. Right.
And then he could have stayed in office.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that exactly, because if you, look at, none of us hopefully are the same person that we were 15, 20, 10 years ago.
Right.
Hopefully that as our lives go on and we evolve, so do our beliefs.
Right.
So do the things that we think are appropriate. Because if we learn that they're not appropriate, then we should change our thinking.
Right.
And so should you be, look, I would never want anybody to judge me for something that I did 25 years ago.
Right.
I am a totally different person now. I look at life through a different lens. I you know, my experiences and then the experiences that I've seen others go through have changed and colored the way that I look at things from when I was young.
Right. And you know what? I would have had a shred of respect for Brett Kavanaugh if that's what he would have said during his confirmation hearings. If he would have said, like, look, I don't remember. I used to drink to the point that I would black out, and I don't remember this thing happening. And if it did happen, I am so sorry. And I understand why things like that are wrong now. And I understand my limits, and I would never, like, I would at least have respect for someone saying something like that. And I don't know why people are so afraid to just tell the truth and just apologize.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get why apologizing is so hard.
Because it admits you're wrong.
You have to admit you're wrong, and then if you were wrong at one point in your life, apparently you can never be trusted with anything important ever again.
I just don't get it, because I know I've said the same exact thing about all of the people that get shot by police officers, like unarmed, blah blah blah, whatever. Like, I don't understand, and I know the liability and stuff, but realistically, like, insurance is going to end up paying for stuff anyway, so that really shouldn't matter. But like, how hard is it to give that life value, to say I made the best decision that I could given the information I had in the moment, and I made the wrong choice, and I'm so sorry.
And acknowledging your implicit bias, because we all have it. Right. This is the thing I don't understand. We're all of us. So we are hardwired as a species to mistrust things that look different from us. It is our human instinct, when you see someone that doesn't look like you, to have, even if it's for a fleeting moment, even the best of us for a fleeting moment, have a split second of mistrust, because we are hardwired that way. We have to consistently fight against the impulse to dislike things that don't look like us. That is how we are wired. So right. Why they don't put more, we could go off on this though, why they don't put more training to help officers overcome that split second of implicit bias that we right. all have.
Right.
Why don't they go through training so that they're confronted with people that look differently than they do in different situations so they learn how to overcome it? Because right. just because you feel something in a moment doesn't mean you have to act on it. Like right. we all make judgments about people every single day. I could meet someone and be like, I don't like them. And then spend mm-hmm. an evening with them and be like, you know what? They weren't that bad. Yeah. Luckily, like, I don't walk right. around with a fucking gun. Like-
yeah. The problem with that is that when you mix that split second of implicit bias with a situation in which a decision that you make in a split second could mean your life or death, I think that becomes that's the toxic moment.
Right.
That law enforcement inherently has an incredibly difficult job dealing with.
What? Right.
But like you said, if they have to take a seminar, a training program mm-hmm. that we acknowledge the implicit bias, mm-hmm. we recognize it, and mm-hmm. then we deal with it, then maybe that won't be as prominent in that split right. second decision-making process of
in
what should I do to not die right
Why
now?
Aren't they asking right. for it is what I, like, as right. if I was a police officer, I would want it's, that training so I would never end up in a situation where I would have ended someone's life that I didn't have to.
Because right. they're spending too much time trying to justify their actions.
Right.
And try and pretend like it's like they didn't do anything wrong. And I make mistakes at work all the time, but nobody's life is on the line when I do it. So I think that there's, and you know what I do when I make a mistake? I own up to it. I go, oh, my bad. Like that, I'm sorry. Instead, I feel like what they try and do now is devalue that person's life. Well, they had robbed all these people and done all these things. Like, a life is a life. Right. And I think if you just say, like, I made the wrong decision, well, and I'm so sorry.
And it's, we're such an arrogant species, too. Like, we think we have the audacity to say, well, if you've done A, B, and C in your past, you deserve then to die when I encounter, yeah. like we just, we think right. that we have the capability as individuals to be judge and jury in that moment. And hey, I have 6 police officers in my family, and if they needed to protect their lives, I hope that they would. Mm-hmm. If their lives were truly in danger, I hope that they would. But I will never forget, my grandfather used to be the chief of police for Los Angeles, okay? And he was actually the chief of police for South Central Los Angeles. He started the gang task force, like, it was in the 70s when the Bloods and Crips were really starting to erupt and stuff. And when my father became a police officer, he told him, he gave him his service weapon and said, I spent 38 years on the job and never once had to fire my weapon, and I hope you have the same luck. Wow. So in my head, he walked a beat in South Central Los Angeles as a white guy and mm-hmm. never once had to fire his weapon. What has changed? Like, what is the huge disconnect now? And I think it's right. because we arm these police officers now in military style protective gear. We've taken them out of communities and treated them right. like actual military personnel going into, you know, a really hostile situation where kind of everyone is the enemy instead of looking at them as community members. And we could do an entire episode on this, but we're running out of time. But we all have implicit bias. We do. Like, even when we don't want to, you know, people have it for straight white men, you know, yeah. we have implicit bias for some people have it for people of color. Other people have it for women. Like, we all right. have implicit bias, but if you acknowledge it and own it, just like you were saying, how Joe Biden was saying, if I did that, I'm sorry I did that. Mm-hmm. But dude, you know, it's not cool to sniff girls' hair and like kiss the back of their heads. Like, that's weird. Don't do that shit to people you don't know. Come on, man. Yeah.
Like, well, like,
come on.
Like, in a personal environment, that's something where you're like, you should be careful. You don't know how somebody can take that. They could take it the wrong way. In a professional environment, it's just inappropriate. And so,
Stacey, you're one of my best friends, and I would not sniff your hair and kiss the back of your head. Like, that's fucking weird.
Right.
And if I did, you should be like, what are you doing, you psycho?
I know people that do that. Like, I know somebody who does that in a very, like, fatherly kind of way. Like,
sniffs your hair?
Not sniffs my hair, but I'll give you a kiss on the top of the head or whatever, but not in a work environment.
Yeah.
So if your director came up to you and kissed him, okay.
Punch him in the throat. No, I'd be like, why are you doing that? You don't even really ever speak to me.
I'm just saying.
Well, you know what? Maybe we should send every male politician over 70 into a training course that says, look, dude, this isn't the 1950s anymore. Keep your hands off of other women.
But honestly, I do think that is relevant, because if you look at it, like, I'm not trying to say, like, you can teach an old dog new tricks, right? Like, 100%. So did Joe Biden come up in a time when, I think it's this weird dichotomy of, like, that's kind of how you treat women and it's okay. So then once you're now having to experience them in the workplace, that's something that you're not accustomed to. And then you have all these, like, yeah, it might be a thing that you have to go through, because no, you cannot treat women the way you would treat, like, the neighbor's daughter. You know what I mean?
Or, like, your daughter. Like, she was running for lieutenant governor. Right. She deserves your respect.
Right. And that, I think, would be helpful.
Right.
It's not like, oh, that's so great, I'm so proud of you, come here, I'm going to kiss your head and, you know, whatever. Like, no, and in a work environment, like, you might think that's okay, but guess what? It is not in a professional environment of any sort.
Just, like, don't. Right.
40 years ago, when he was, like, 35, you could have gotten away with patting your secretary on the ass if she did a good job.
Right.
Now you have to be a major league ball player to get away with that on the job.
If you guys haven't seen Mad Men, watch Mad Men.
Yeah.
Online Netflix binge list.
Oh my God, so good.
So good.
What's everyone obsessed with this week?
Oh, let me take the lead on this one. Since I've been single, I've discovered Netflix binge watching.
Yay!
Freaking Ozark.
I have not watched that.
Oh my God. 2 seasons, 10 episodes a season. The third season's coming out at the end of summer, so you've got time. Jason Bateman, Laura Linney.
I love him. And her.
It is a white knuckle ride. And it is like your perfect little white upper middle class family, whose dad happens to be a money launderer for the Mexican drug cartel.
That's interesting.
Yeah, check it out.
All right, Stace, what are you obsessed with this week?
What are you going to talk about? Are you going to talk about Captain Marvel?
I was going to, yeah.
Okay, then I'll talk about something else. Okay, I have something else I can talk about, so it's fine.
Of course you do, yeah.
I will say, number one, I've started watching YouTube videos to get prepped for Game of Thrones, because I'm so excited it's coming back. So like that, I'm like lightweight obsessed with, but not yet because it hasn't started. The other thing I think I'm like full on obsessed with this week is, well. It's so hard to pick one thing. I think I have some sort of obsessive, like,
you got a minute and 30 disorder. Seconds, so.
No, how am I supposed to ever pick one thing?
Keep That's going.
Fair. Oh no, you put the pressure on him now. I don't know what to do. Oh God, it's so much. Okay. No, this is hard. What happened? I lost everything I was going to say. That was really rough. Okay. Amy Schumer's new Netflix special, Growing.
Okay.
It's great. It's her pregnant. It's so funny. She's so relatable. And I really, really like her in this special. And she talks about how her husband is like on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. And it's just really great. And the care with which she took to like like say that, like she wanted to 100% make sure she got it right and was like being respectful to like how you're supposed to, you know, what you're supposed to say. And when you're sort of, you know, navigating uncharted territories, it can be a little rough. So I would say that I thought was super, super commendable the way she like talked about it. But also like, she's just real funny.
She is funny.
Oh, I know what I lost my train of thought on earlier was I started watching Shrill on Hulu. It's the one with Aidy Bryant from Saturday Night Live, who I absolutely love. And it's based on a book, and it's sort of about like being a fat girl and how you still like want to be loved and have fun. And, you know, so far it's not like uproariously funny, but it's super relatable. And I like that.
Okay. we went and saw Captain Marvel on Thursday, and me, Stacy, our friend Christina, and our other friend Debbie went and watched it. And I was like, I was nervous to see it because I was worried the hype in my head would leave me like real disappointed in the film itself. Because one, I think Wonder Woman was probably one of the best superhero movies that's ever been made, with the with the care they took to like really make sure like her backstory was told, and they didn't downplay like the Amazons and stuff. So I knew Captain Marvel had a very different like origin story, which I'm glad about, because you don't want the two to be kind of intermingled. Right. But I loved it for totally different reasons. The care they took with like weaving in really popular like feminist songs from the 90s into it.
Yeah.
And kind of like the underlying just descriptors of, you know, everyone's talked about now, like her being knocked down over and over and over again. I also really like Brie Larson. One, because she's not like traditionally like gorgeous like you would say Wonder Woman is. You would see her on the street and be like, she's very attractive, but she's not like show stopping at you.
Supermodel,
like, right? But I that was one of my favorite things about her, because yeah. she looked like a girl you could actually, or a woman you could actually know, which I loved it. I'm really it was just the origin story. I'm really looking forward to her coming in after like 18 Marvel movies and saving all of them, because a bunch of dum-dums couldn't figure it out for themselves. Like,
well, and I just love that like her being a female wasn't even a plot point.
Right. Like, right. She could have been any superhero.
So
yeah.
Much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, Jude Law has not aged very well.
Mm-mm.
What happened?
And I really liked that they showed the strong friendship between her and her best friend, and how that was such a crucial part of her life. Because I think women have best friendships that are different than guys have best friendships. And I could be totally wrong, because I've never been a guy, so I can't speak for them. Mm-hmm. But I think women's friendships play such like a pivotal part of their lives. And I think they did a really good job showing that in this movie. And the fact that she got to pick up right like where she left off with her, and there wasn't like this like real big to do about it. I thought it was really well done. It was funny. It was super cinematically
funny. If you like
pleasing.
Nick Fury, you're gonna love this movie.
It was aesthetically pleasing.
Movie,
so oh my god, good. It's so good. And like Stacey was saying, like Wonder Woman very much harped on women are going to save the world. And yes, this very much just harped on her own personal journey of kind of figuring out where she was. And it just so happened she's going to save the world. Like, I really enjoyed it. It was definitely worth waiting. All of the, and get it together, Marvel and DC. Like, let's see more of these. It broke all of the records. All of the records. So,
well, and it's just so nice. Like, I was in Disneyland a couple weeks ago, and it's so nice. They have a meet and greet area with her, and it has like a big airplane hangar thing. And it was just so cool to see so many little kids, little girls walking around in like Captain Marvel. Like, I love princesses, and I'm very, very basic and whatever. But it was just so cool to see these girls walking around dressed as a superhero.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to say about it was, I don't think a lot of people, and I was really glad they included this in the film, I don't think they realized how much women were kind of kept out of flying in the military up until really recently. And by recently, I mean like within my lifetime. I mean, yes, you had the ones down, back in World War II who were flying, but they were kind of ignored for a better part of history. And they have used women as like test pilots and stuff, but it wasn't until, you know, in the last like 40 years or so that they've been allowed to fly in combat missions. And I was glad they incorporated that in there, because I think especially younger women don't realize, they kind of take our rights for granted at a certain point. They don't realize how many generations of women had to fight for their place where they are now. Like, right. You stand on the backs of women that came before you, whether you like them or not. So I was glad that they included kind of that brief little history of girls could only fly test missions, because why could women possibly actually shoot down planes? Like, we have so many things going on in our brains. Like, what if we're on our periods? And like, so right. I just, yeah.
Plus, cat is super cute.
Yeah.
There's a cute cat in this movie.
Very cute cat who totally stole the show.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, and all of the men definitely took a backseat to her in this movie, which it's such a novel. And I hope at some point it's no longer novel and it just becomes a thing that happens and we don't have to talk about it. But at this point, it's still, even, you know, Nick Fury took a backseat in this movie, which is crazy. Right. So,
Sam, I'd like to see that happen in politics, not just Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, because when it's due, if you're the most powerful person and you happen to be a man, sure. If you're the most powerful person and you happen to be a person of color, great. If you're a woman, you're gay, you're whatever, like, yeah, like that should, sure, because you're the best. And it shouldn't have to do with race or gender or whatever.
Any of that stuff.
Any of that. Like, vote for the best person because they're the best, not because of what they look like.
But hashtag. But until we get to that point, put more women in office. Yeah, okay. So that is it for us. Sorry we're late this week. We will be back Friday, though, with our all sex episode. There will be 5 of us on that episode. It will be myself, the 2 Stacys, and then Jean will be joining us again, and author Aaron Zach will be on that one to give us her input on sex.
Yeah.
I have that like Color Me Bad song like playing in my head.
I want to talk about, or what is it? Let's talk about sex.
Yeah. So that should be a fun episode. So we'll talk to you guys in a couple days, and I would say have a good weekend, but it's Sunday, so hope your Monday doesn't suck.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, thanks everyone. Bye.
Bye.